All right, our reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, starting in verse number 9. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him." Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Go on and put your device down. Grab your neighbor by both hands and look your neighbor square in the eye. Grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. Amen. Look them square in the eye. And say, neighbor,
neighbor,
embrace,
embrace
the love.
The love.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
embrace,
embrace
the love.
The love.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, Embrace the Love. You know, as we look at this issue or this statement, there's something we have to look at first. For those who have raised children, had children, but you were involved in a child's life and involved in their development, there's some things that you understood. You understood that you had goals you wanted the child to accomplish. You will help to stir them or steer them in the right direction. And you wanted them to continue to move forward. You know how we know this? When your baby, Deacon Aldrich, first started sitting up, the next thing you wanted to do was have them standing. And once they were standing, you were teaching them how to walk. When they began to talk, Deacon Booth, the next thing you did was start to get them and show them how to say words. And then you made it a point to teach them the alphabet. And after you taught them the alphabet, then you taught them how to read. Which means is that we're seeing that we were always doing something that was perpetual in getting our children to take the next step. And one thing that some of us did when they were still infants, we started putting together their college fund. Just in case that when they graduate high school, if they didn't have a scholarship, the money was there to pay for it. Amen. Some did that. And the whole purpose is that we did all this because we were investing into the lives of our children or young people that we knew. We wanted them to know that they mattered. If they didn't matter to nobody else, they mattered to us. And we were always challenging them and making them do things. And when I look at myself growing up, the one thing I share with my brother all the time, I said, you know what? Mommy would have us play all kinds of games. And all the games that we played had to do with us thinking and adding. And I said, you know, and he thought about that. He said, man, you're so right. I said, that's it. She was investing in us and we didn't even know it. But, you know, and then all of a sudden, it brings me to a place to where it gets me to understand that God has invested in us. And God never wanted us to settle as he blessed us. Think about this. The one thing that we have to understand that our starting point is when we come and give our lives to Christ. That's when we begin. That's where we take off from, because of the fact that now that we have Jesus and have that relationship, then we begin to see how the Father's going to take us further. That's what the God we serve is all about. It's not about us becoming stagnant. It's not about us, you know, just being happy that we're saved. No, no, the Lord wants you to do more than just be saved. What are you doing with what God has done for you? You see, my brothers and sisters, I want us to understand that until we understand this concept
of moving forward in perpetual motion and knowing that it's God who is blessing us to move forward, knowing that it is God's plan has been all along to keep us moving forward, so that we should never take the time to just sit there and sit down on God. Because we have to realize now what the Lord did for us. He gave his very best. He gave his best for us when we weren't deserving of his best. When we were failures, the Lord gave us the best he had to offer. When we wouldn't give him the time of day, the Lord gave his son who gave his all for us. When we look at what Jesus has done for us, he did it for us while others would consider us to be a waste of time. The Lord said, I can't do nothing but give them my time. When you think about all that God has done and brought us through, there's no way we're ever going to sit here and shortchange the one who didn't shortchange us. Amen. Now, what is interesting about the church in Corinth? Reverend Rhodes, in Corinth, it was considered a harbor city. It was a big metropolitan area. Since it was a harbor city, the way things got moved around was through harbors. So a lot of products and a lot of things came through the harbors of Corinth. So if a lot of products and things came through, you had all various types of people coming through. It was back in that time where a whole lot of stuff went on that still goes on today. And folk had certain lifestyles and were doing certain things that others frowned upon. And that was the thing that really changed and was shaping Corinth, is that the Lord used Paul to go to Corinth to preach and teach the gospel. And as he was there preaching and teaching the gospel, the crooks and those who had done bad things, those who may have been prostitutes, those who might have certain kind of backgrounds that folk didn't like, but all these folk were now giving their lives to Jesus, and the Lord was turning them around. The Lord was taking them from a nothing and making something out of them. And now that they were becoming something, don't you know that folk were looking at them? You see, when folk look at you, they automatically look at you and try to figure out what has changed, because I remember how you were supposed to be a certain way. I remember how, you know, you were hanging out here. I remember how folk was coming by and giving you a few dollars for you to do a few things for them. I remember how your life used to be, because folk are looking at how you used to be. Some folk to this day still struggle with how they see you now as a child of God, and they still are looking at you funny and trying to figure out, how in the world did you go from that to this? How in the world could God take you as toe up from the floor up you were to where you are right now? You see, and then sometimes we get a little mad because folk always say to us, boy, you sure enough have changed. Yeah, I changed. You see, and this is the backdrop to what Paul here is writing to the church in Corinth. He wanted them to understand something, that there are three things that you can expect when you give your life to Christ. And when you look here at this verse number 9, a portion of it is a quote from Isaiah 64:4. Not all of it, but the eye and the ear is from Isaiah 64:4. But the rest of it, the Lord just gave to Paul and he wrote it. Are you following me? You see, because I want you to understand something. Once you accept Christ in your life, folk gonna look at you a little funny. You know why? Because that's not how they used to seeing you. They used to seeing you in a certain way. They used to seeing you acting a certain way. So when they're looking at you, they can't figure out, how come you acting the way you act? Because I'm not used to seeing you smiling and saying good morning. I'm not used to you being respectful. I'm not used to you wearing clothes that fit. I'm not used to you wearing clothes that are covering stuff up. Come on now, can we just be real this morning? Yes. Some folk can't figure out what in the world happened to you. You see, because of the fact that Paul says here, the very first thing he says in this verse, he says, what no eye has seen. Don't you know that when folk look at you, they can't realize that you know, you've changed, and they can't figure out how you changed? You see, and the change happened because of what God has done in your life. You see, so you have to understand, when folk look at you, they ain't gonna look at you like they used to look at you, because you don't look that way no more. And then what really begins to blow them away is then they say, man, oh, sister, what happened to you? And then all of a sudden, that second thing comes in, nor ear heard. Now all of a sudden you start talking about, well, you know, I know I used to be a this and I used to be a that. But now that I've accepted Jesus Christ into my life, I now am walking in my grace and mercy. I am now leaning on the one who brought me a mighty long way. Yes, I ain't cussing no more. Yes, I ain't running folk down no more. Yes, I ain't saying all that negative stuff no more, because the Lord took the negative in me and he turned it into a positive. And if the Lord is able to bless me, he can bless you as well. You see, my brothers and my sisters, they ain't never heard you talk like that before. First you look different, now you talk different. Why? Because you got, now you got Jesus, and you want them to know that if it had not been for the Lord, I don't know where I would be. And now that the Lord has taken this nothing and made something out of it, because now when you look at me, guess what? I don't look the same. Guess what? I don't talk the same. And then they can't begin to understand something, because they say in that last piece, nor the human heart conceive. You know, when you act a certain way for a certain amount of time, it causes folk to have a conception of who they think you are. All right. They get used to seeing you act in a way. Yeah. They get used to seeing you talk a certain way. And when they look at you, they can't process it right. All right. Because what they're seeing, what they're hearing, and what they're thinking is not consistent when they look at you anymore. You see, some folk get comfortable when we start acting like a fool and cussing folk out all the time. They get comfortable when we walk around drunk and high all the time. But now that we've turned our lives around, they can't conceive it. Because of the fact that because they can't see it, they can't. They, you're not used to hearing you. Now that you done sat there and talked with them a whole hour and you ain't cussed them out, something wrong with you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So in their mind, they can't conceive it. They can't figure out who this is they're talking to. You see, my brothers and my sisters, look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I ain't gonna make no excuses. You see, you ain't got to make no excuses on how God has changed you. You don't have to make no excuses about how the Lord is making a way for you. You don't have to make no excuses how the Lord has turned your life around. You don't have to make no excuses for how God is blessing you. You ain't got to make no excuses on how the Lord has moved you up and have you doing certain things. Because you understand that if it had not been for the Lord, there's no telling where you'd be right now. So don't you dare make no excuses. But what you're going to do is go on and give God the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it was nobody but the Lord who took you from a nothing and made something out of you. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand it's nobody but Jesus who made a way out of no way? If you know what I'm talking about, turn and give somebody a high five. Thank you, Lord. You see, you got to recognize something. You got to recognize who you are. Sometimes we have a hard time coming to grips with who we are right now. We feel a little unsettled because folk remember what we used to be. And one of the things is that sometimes we become a little apologetic. Well, I know I ain't like that no more. And then you'll say, well, you know, excuse me for being the way I am. Don't you excuse, don't you dare. Because you ain't do it. God did it because the Lord met you. Now, and just think, you're apologizing to the same folk that whenever they saw you coming, they was whispering every time you walked away. Lord, did you smell their breath? Boy, their hair looked like it's been through a fight. You see how wrinkled and tore up their clothes look? Lord, don't get too close. And then don't have them come to hug you, because when they lift their arms up, that B.O. is going to knock you out. You see, some folk have come to define you for what you used to be, and they don't know how to accept you and what you are right now. But I am so thankful that God accepted me, and when did God accept me? When you wanted to dismiss me. Somebody going to get that. Somebody going to get that. when nobody wanted to give you the time of day. That's when God gave you all his time. That's when the Lord came and gave his all for you. That's when the Lord came and turned you around and looked at you now. You don't have to be apologetic. That's why whenever we come in God's house, you ain't got to wait for somebody to say, it's time to praise God. You know it's time to praise God because you know what the Lord has done for you. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand how good God has been, is being, and will continue to be when I put my trust in him? I know I didn't get here because I'm all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a... Because I realize and understand it's nobody but God's grace and mercy that has brought me this far and will take me all the way. See, he dealt with how the senses, how people deal with us, how people see us, and how people hear us has caused them to conceive us in a certain way. You see, God is all about getting folk to turn right side up. And when we see folk turn right side up, sometimes it messes us up and causes us to go upside down. But I thank God that when the children of God see somebody else, God has turned and made them right side up. That's the time when the people of God begin to praise God. And you know why we praise God? Because we realize that our God is just so awesome. Because we remember how lost we were. And when the Lord did what he did in us, whenever I see him working in the life of somebody else, I can't help but give him some glory, the honor, and the praise. Because that's just letting me know that the love of God has now reached somebody else. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you know how good God is, has been and will continue to be, you don't ever get jealous of whatever God is doing to somebody else. You praise God for how he's blessing him, because I know if he's blessing him, he's also going to bless me. Do I got any folk in God's house who are blessed folk and don't mind somebody else being blessed? If you know you don't mind somebody else being blessed, look at them and tell them you're blessed. You see, because if you can tell them you're blessed, then you got to know that you're blessed. You see, I ain't mad at you. I ain't dissing you. I'm praising God for you. And if I can praise him for you, you ought to praise him for me. Because we're all in this. You see, but let's go on forward. Then he goes on to say, he says, for eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, no, has entered into the heart of man. I know I'm quoting King James, y'all. It's just stuck up in him. Right? Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. No, has entered into the heart of man what God has in store for them that love. For them that
love.
You see that? The reality is this. What God has prepared for them that love him, man can't conceive.
Amen.
And this is the point Paul is making. You see, I want you to know, Brother Lionel, what God has done in you. I want you to know some folk can't figure it out. And guess what? They won't. You know why? Because they ain't God. And what God has done in you, nobody else could have done. You see, Brother Freeman, I know there's some folk who know you and still wonder about you. Remember you back in those days when you was down there in Stony Creek. I'm going to get it right. Down there by the creek that got some stones in it. Amen. There's some folk who knew you way back when, and they look at you now and say, Lord, how in the world did the Lord do that? That's all right. You ain't got to explain it away. All you got to do is say, it ain't nobody but God. You see, Gabriel, I know mama has been in this church all the time, but you ain't always been an angel, even though you got an angel's name. But look at what God is doing in your life right now. And when you understand that, I don't have to apologize for how God has turned my life around. You see, I can go all through this church, Sister Davis. I know you've always been praying for granddaddy, praying for family members in the holiness church, and now all of a sudden there was a time you wasn't all that holy, but guess what? God didn't give up on you. Some folk in the church might have talked about you, but when they saw the change happen over you, they were looking to say what happened, and all you had to say was Jesus. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we ain't got to apologize for nothing. All we got to let folk know, it was nobody but. You see, when you know it was nobody but
Jesus.
then guess what? I ain't got to apologize for it. Because guess what? When Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross for your and my best interest. Why? Because he loved us. Why? Because he wanted to get close to us. Why? Because we needed to be healed. Why? Because we were lost. Why? We needed to be delivered. Why? Because we was broke. We didn't know what to do next. But I thank God Jesus paid the price to make a way for us to come into the presence of the Father. When I think about all that God has done for me, I can't do nothing but go on and praise him, thank him, and magnify his holy name. Because he could have left me right where I was. But there's something that we got to get. This is what we got to get. Because it says what God has prepared for those who love him. You see, Deacon Jones, there's no question that God did what he did for us because God was drawing close to us. Now, in order for us to draw close to God, and that's why we have embrace the love. To embrace somebody means you got to get close to them. You see, if I'm going to embrace Reverend Rhodes, I can't embrace him from here. Because this ain't a real embrace. An embrace is getting up. I ain't going to give you no hug right now, brother. I'm messing with you. See, this is called an embrace. You following what I'm saying? God wants his people to get up close and embrace him. God doesn't want us to love him from a distance. What do you mean I'm loving God from a distance? I'm in church on Sunday morning. Now, let me put this out just so that y'all understand. I know there are some folk, boy, they are working hard all during the week. They work a lot of hours, put a lot of time in. And when they get to church on Sunday, they are just so excited because they wish they can get here some other times during the week. But because of their work schedule, they just can't. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking about the other folk who got the time, who can be here, who can come to Bible study, who can get involved in the various ministries we have here at this church. But you just choose to come on Sunday because all you want to do is praise the Lord and love him from us. If you are able to come, and the only thing that's keeping you from not coming is because you don't want to DVR a few of your shows. Then that's your choice. If you are saying it is more important for you to do whatever than to give God some time during the week that you have, then that's saying that you are considering to love God from a... I don't know about you. I ain't trying to love God from a distance. Because as long as I have a long distance relationship, that means there's some space between God and I. That there are other things that can get my attention and take my attention away from God. You know how some folks say, you know, they were sweethearts for a number of years and they kept in contact with letters. Long distance relationship, and then all of a sudden somebody got a Dear John. Oh, what's the name of that song? Jody? What? Yeah, Jody got your girl and gone. Because you was trying to hold on to a long distant relationship. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't trying to have a long-distance relationship. I'm going to get up close and personal. I'm not going to let there be any space between me and God. Because if there's space between me and God, that means there's somebody who's coming in like a Jody, and he's called the devil, who's trying to infiltrate my relationship with God. So I'm going to stay as close as I can.
because I don't want no space between God and I ain't trying to love God from a
distance.
Lord, y'all gonna be talking about this for a while now. You see, the key here, there's some keys. The keys is that you're not the same. So don't try to act the same. You don't talk like you used to. So don't even try to go back there. I don't care how folk want to remember you and how you used to be. You better constantly remind them, that ain't me no more. Because I have Jesus. You know, the story that really comes to mind when I talk about long distance relationships is my mind drifts to the prodigal son. And the reason why my mind drifts to the prodigal son, because he thought he could find love somewhere else and didn't realize the love he had right at his house. And the father there gave him his possessions, sent him on his merry way. You know why? Because he knew that no matter what he said to the son, he wasn't going to listen. The son had to go and try to find love in a whole lot of different places because he thought there was more love out than there was love in. And while he was out there, he came to realize that wasn't no love out there. It was just a whole bunch of mess. And he got so lost and so messed up, he found himself, who is a Hebrew, in a pig pen feeding pigs, doing something he had no business doing. Being in a pig pen was also a symbolism for how unclean he had become. And once he realized how unclean he had become, he realized that he needed his father in his life because he knew that his father's servants were living better than he was. He went looking for love in all the And guess what happened? When he got himself together, I want you to know, Violet, what that brother did was he said, I am leaving this and I'm going back home because I know when I get back home, there is love for me. But I don't think I deserve the love that my father has for me. So I'm going to just say to my father, guess what, daddy? I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Just let me be your servant. This is what was going through the mind of the son because he wasn't sure if the father still loved him. But what I want you to know, that the father was already on the porch, already on the lookout, because the father knew eventually the son was going to come back because he was not going to find the love on the outside. The love is right here on the inside. And when the father saw him coming back, what did the father do? He ran and grabbed him, which lets us know when we come to God, it's just like the father coming back, the son coming back to the father. The father is going to run and meet us and grab us right where we are. Anybody remember that experience when the Lord grabbed you because you came out of a life of sin? Remember how he loved you and he is still loving on you? Do I got some folk in God's house who understand that the Father loves you more than you understand? And no matter what you say, he ain't gonna ever stop loving you, but will continue to love you. And how will he love you? Just the way. And he will take you even further. You see, my brothers and sisters, in order for us to move forward in doing what God is calling us to do, we got to embrace the love. In order for the lifestyle stewardship campaign to move forward and be all that God wants us to be, we as God's people have to get closer to God. And as we draw closer to God, I want you to know we should be so close to God that the light can't even see through it. Somebody understanding what I'm saying? The intimacy of that relationship ought to be just that close. Because that's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he knows that there are things that are working against us. And that's why he wants us to maintain our closeness. Have you ever had a situation you was about to do something you know you had no business doing, but the Spirit said no?
Yeah.
and by the Spirit saying no, then all of a sudden you realize you turned from doing that, and you found out later how God had protected you and blessed you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you got a close relationship with God, when you stay close to the love of God, you will start to see how God is, who he is in your life, and how he will make a way out of no way. You see, my brothers and sisters, what God wants to know, are you willing to get close? Because if you're willing to get close, then I'm willing to bless you. I'm willing to do things in you that you didn't think was possible. When you get close to me, I want you to know I will do things that you never thought could happen in your life. And you know, and there's some folk in here who already know what I'm talking about. Because of you getting close to God, the Lord has done some things in you you didn't think was possible. Why? Because you got close. You see, my brothers and my sisters, we got to get close. And once we get close, we stay close. We don't get away from God, but we stay right there. Sometimes it's going to have some storms. Sometimes it's going to get rough. Sometimes it's going to get a little bumpy, but that's all right. I'm going to stay close. I know they're going to talk about me, telling me I don't need to be always up at that church, telling me I ain't got to always be talking about Jesus, telling me it's just a waste of my time. That's all right, but I'm going to stay close. I know I'm dealing with some of this, I'm dealing with some of that, but I'm going to stay what? Close. I don't care how they talk bad about me. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care how they look at me. I'm going to still stay, because I know how I got to where I am right now. I got this far because I stayed. And what I'm saying to you, my brothers and my sisters, don't you dare let anybody get between you and God. Continue to trust God and keep God, because God wants to stay to you. So what am I saying to you, my brothers and my sisters? Embrace. Embrace the love.